Welcome to our Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We pray today's message will equip you to do the work God has called each of us to do in our area of ministry. I look forward to seeing you here at church soon. Enjoy today's word.
All right, so we are going to continue tonight in our study of Proverbs, and we're going to learn about the benefits of wisdom. Hopefully, we're going to begin to love wisdom, if you don't already. And we're going to understand that when we recognize the benefits of wisdom, when we learn to love wisdom, we can build a life on that. Yeah. We can build a life on it. I was thinking just a couple hours ago, because I think that sometimes we don't recognize that. When I say that something isn't wise, I'm not necessarily saying that you're in sin. You know what I mean? I was thinking about Mary and Martha, and I was thinking about when Jesus came, Martha wasn't in sin because she went in the kitchen and started cooking some food, yeah. Right? So sometimes when we're talking about wisdom, we're not talking about being in sin. We're not. It wasn't that Martha was in sin. It's that there were two options, and one of them was a wiser choice than the other one. And, you know, with being a principal of a school, and I deal with a lot of high school students, one of the things that I start doing when they get to high school is I start giving them options and letting them make decisions for themselves. And many times I have had the conversation where I say, okay, here are your choices, and neither one of them's wrong. I'm telling you as the principal that I think there is wisdom in one and not so much in the other, but you get to make the choice, because that's the way life works. Yeah. And oftentimes, you know, when we, when God disciplines us, when he corrects us, it isn't always because we've been in sin. It's he's correcting you, going, okay, listen, that wasn't wrong, but wouldn't this have been so much better?
So true. Yeah.
See, Mary chose the better part. That's what the word says when it talks about when Mary complained and whined, or Martha complained and whined because she's in there cooking the meal and Mary's in there sitting at the feet of Jesus. What Jesus did not say is, Martha, you are in sin. You need to confess your sin. What he said was, Mary chose the better part. You got two options, and she made the right choice. And so that's what we're talking about a lot of times when we're talking about wisdom. Now, sometimes it is about the difference between sin and doing what's right. But it's not always that way, and I want to make sure that we understand that as we go into this study on wisdom. So we are in Proverbs chapter 3, and we're not going to read every single verse in this. We're going to hit some highlights because I think it's, well, there's just too much, quite frankly. And so we don't want this series to last, you know, till Jesus comes. So we're going to hit the highlights, but we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, and the first verse says this. It says, my child, never forget the things that I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. So we're just going to stop right there. Store my commands in your heart. Some people read that as in, store my commands in that big book and sit it on the shelf and go get it every once in a while when tragedy hits or a crisis, right? It's not store my commands in a book on your bedside table or your coffee table. It's not store my commands in your Bible app on your phone. Yeah. Yeah. Store my commands in your heart. Yeah. Verse 2, if you do this, if you do this, so it's up to you. Are you in sin if you don't? I don't know. All I know is it's a command of God to do it. But here's what I can tell you. If you do this, it says you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Doesn't mean your life will be trouble-free, hardship-free. It's not saying that. But it will be a satisfying life. Good. And this is the heart of why we're studying Proverbs. You want to live a long, satisfying life. So you've got to store up the commandments of God in your heart. That's how you build a life. That's how you do it. See, when the Word of God becomes deeply embedded in your heart, you've got a firm foundation, right? You got something to build upon. So we got to store that Word in our heart so that we have a good foundation. Why do we do that? Because it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when we're storing up the Word in our heart, we're storing up Christ in our heart. We're developing a relationship with Jesus Christ every time we commit to the Word, every single time. And I can tell you this, the most joy-filled people, the most satisfied with life people that I've ever known are people who are full of the Word of God. And you just can't go wrong filling up on the commands of God. But I want to talk to you for just a second about what it means to store these commandments up in your heart. Because that word heart is can be a little bit confusing. And here's why. Pastor did a great teaching on what it means, what the word heart means in the Bible, because it doesn't always mean the same thing. And I'm not going to reteach what he has taught. You ought to go back and listen to it if you get a chance. But it's important that you understand what this word is in Hebrew. And this particular verse is using a Hebrew word that is pronounced lev. And it is not a reference to your physical heart. And it can be a reference to your inner man. But in this instance, it's really talking about our mind and our will. And so when it's telling us to store the commands of God up in our heart, it's saying, you got to get them up here in your mind. Yeah. All right? You've got to put those words in your mind. You've got to read them. You've got to memorize them. You've got to speak them. You've got to meditate them. And here's what's amazing is that a very powerful, supernatural thing happens when you put something in your mind. Romans 12:2 says that our mind will first of all be renewed and will secondly be transformed. In other words, when my mind is renewed and transformed, it means I stop thinking like Melanie. And I start to think and believe like God. Now, am I elevating myself to God's status? No. But why would we read the book if we don't want that to become the way we think? That is God's word. So when I read it and I meditate it and I speak it and I am memorizing it and constantly putting it in my mind, it renews my mind and it transforms my mind and it changes me and makes me look more and more like Christ. That's the goal. I want to act like God. And there are people who would call that statement heresy. But isn't that the goal? I want to love people like God loves them. I want to serve people the way that Christ serves us. And people twist that when we say that, but it's important that we strive to be as much like God as we can be. So in Proverbs 3:3, it goes on to say, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder, write them deep within your heart. Then you'll find favor with both God and people, and you'll earn a good reputation. And I don't know about you, but my top priority in life is to have favor with God. And it's not really about what I can get out of Him. It's just because I want to know Him more and more. I want to live a life that is pleasing to Him. But what a great side benefit that when I do those things, I'm not just walking in favor with God, but I'm walking in favor with man. And we tease Shelby, but Shelby has more favor on her life than anything I've ever seen. I mean, it is the craziest thing. But she cultivates a relationship with the Lord. And I'm just telling you, she just walks in stores and, you know, oh, that was supposed to be $87 and it's 12 cents. I mean, it just happens. I don't know. But I love that. So when we are both loyal and kind, we're pleasing to God, but we earn a good reputation with people. And the Amplified Classic breaks down that verse a little bit better than the NLT does. What it means to be loyal and kind. And there's a little bit more to it, but it means to shut out all hatred. It means to shut out selfishness and deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood. So if we're going to earn favor with God and man, we got to get rid of that stuff. We got to get rid of hate. We got to get rid of selfishness. We can't tell others how to live and not live that way ourselves, and we can't lie. Those are pretty basic things, but it's important if you want favor with God and man. So it's interesting to me that he tells us, okay, you got to store these commandments up in your heart. And then starting in verse 5, he gives us some commandments that we can start storing. All right, so starting in verse 5, it says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Now, Pastor pointed this out earlier today. I mean, lots of us got that one on a magnet on the refrigerator, or we're posting that one or sharing it or doing something. That's a very well-known verse, highly recognizable verse if you've been a Christian for very long. But there's some powerful truth in that. It goes on to say, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord's discipline reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. So I want to take that passage and I want to break down what the commands are in that passage, because there are 9 commands. Depending on how you break them up, you can break them up and make more or maybe make less. But I've got 9 here. 9 commands that you need to be storing in your heart. Number 1, trust in the Lord. He doesn't say pray for the strength to trust in the Lord. He says trust in the Lord. Number 2, don't rely on your own wisdom. You know, the word says that there's a way that seems right to a man. And we operate a lot as Christians on what seems right. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of times it doesn't, what seems right doesn't really line up with the word. So we have got to stop relying on our own wisdom and rely on the wisdom of God. Yeah. Number 3, acknowledge God in every part of your life. And that means that to acknowledge God means to know him and to know him well enough that he affects every part of your life. Okay? Number 4, it says it again. I think this is important. It repeats it. Don't rely on your own wisdom. And that verse I mentioned earlier is Proverbs 14:12. It says, there's a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him. But at the end of its way, at the end of it is the way of death. So don't rely on your own wisdom. Number 5, fear God. You've got to fear God. That means to have great reverence for God, and it means to worship him. Number 6, turn from evil. Doesn't say pray for the strength. Now you can. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't do that, but what I'm telling you is at some point you just got to stop doing evil things. Reject evil in every part of your life. Number 7, honor God with your money. We talk about that a lot here, not because we're obsessed with money, but the Bible tells us if we are not even faithful with just something as simple as money, then we can't be trusted with even greater things. So we've got to honor God with our money. Number 8 says to give the first portion of your money, We don't give God what's left over after we make out the bills. That's a tough one. But it says give him what's first. His part comes out first. And then number 9 says, don't hate God's correction or get tired of his discipline. Now here's what's really cool, and I just want to tell you, if you are a person that just feels like you come to church all the time and you just get your feet stomped on all the time, and you just feel like you're constantly being told something that makes you realize you're doing one more thing wrong, and you just don't know how to stop doing that, and you're just sick and tired, and you just want to come in one day and have just someone lift you up and build you up and make you feel better about yourself. It says, don't get tired of God's discipline. And I'm telling you, if you will push through that season, because we all have that season, but if you will push through that season, you will reach the point where you appreciate the correction. You really, really will. You can appreciate the correction of God. But here's the super cool part about all of this. Put these commands in your mind. And then it tells us what happens if we do. This is my favorite part, because this is the blessing that comes along with it. It says, number 1, it says God will give you clear direction. And what that means is that he will help, he will cause your will to line up with his, not vice versa. He doesn't scooch his over here to meet up with yours, but he draws you to himself and lines your will up with his. That's what it means to make the path straight. You begin to get on board with God's will for your life. And he removes impediments that would hinder your spiritual growth. He strengthens you. He gives you endurance and perseverance to get through hardships and challenges. Again, get through them. But it's a lot easier when he is making that path straight for you. Number 2, this is a big one. Your spiritual health, when you are trusting in God and relying on his wisdom, will make its way into your physical body, and it will heal you and it will strengthen you. And that's really important to know, because the more you trust in God, the more you put his commands in your heart, the more you lean into him, the more spiritually healthy you become, the more you begin to radiate from your inner man, and that radiates right out into your flesh. And guess what? You can be healed, you can be strengthened, and you can expect God to move in your physical body. And that's a big one for a lot of people. It's going to be a big one for all of us at some point in time. So it's important. Number 3, you're not going to lack anything. You're going to prosper financially. You're always going to have enough to eat. You're always going to have enough to drink. Number 4, you will mature in faith and grow in character. And the last one, this is kind of a big one. You will reach the point where you understand, because it's really hard when you're immature in the faith and you really don't understand your identity in Christ. And it's one of those things that it's very, that's something that you have to really allow the Lord to minister to you, who you are in Christ. But as you grow, you will begin to understand that you are not some illegitimate child of God, but rather you are a legitimate child of God. It doesn't matter what that old man did. You are legitimate. It says in Hebrews 12, verse 7, it says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. And then in verse 11, it says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. And it shows you. See, why do we discipline our own children? Because we hate them? No, it's because we love them so much that we're trying to shield them from hardship. And the same is true of God. And when we discipline our own children, we're proving that they're ours. And the same is true with God. So there are some very specific benefits that come with growing in the wisdom of God. And the world has its own kind of wisdom, and we can probably all testify to that. But we can also probably all testify that the benefits of God's wisdom are so much better. And so it's really important that we begin to understand that. Verses 13 through 35, Solomon goes on to teach us that wisdom's more valuable than anything you can find on the earth. And it gives more benefits available to us if we seek wholeheartedly the wisdom of God. He says, we'll be blessed, we'll live long, and we'll have spiritual riches, and we'll have peace. And the older I get, the more valuable peace becomes to me. And so those are important things. And again, not promising a pain-free, hardship-free life, but when you have wisdom, you always have a big picture mentality. You know, I think about when you're building a house and you've got someone who is the contractor of your house. That person is the one person that's got the big picture about what's going on, right? See, when the cabinet guy comes in, he's just worried about the cabinets. When the flooring people come in, they're just worried about the flooring. But when the contractor is there, he's looking at the big picture. And the more we seek the wisdom of God, the more we begin to have a big picture mentality. And it's really easy to have peace in your mind when you know how the story ends, right? When you know you win in the end, it's a lot easier to endure challenges. They're temporary because you're looking at something from a big picture point of view, and it changes everything. But you've got to have the wisdom of God to be able to even do that. Yeah. So it goes on to say in Proverbs 3, verse 21, it says, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Sound wisdom and discretion, life for your soul, your mind. It says, then you will walk on your way securely and your foot won't stumble. If you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. There are so many blessings that come from trusting in the wisdom of God and storing it up in your mind. So moving on to Proverbs 4. And I got to tell you, in Proverbs 4, you'll see a lot more of the references of wisdom. Pastor mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that Solomon often refers to wisdom as a woman. And it's a metaphorical reference, but I don't think it's a mistake. But keep that in mind, ladies. I got you. But Proverbs 4 spends a little bit of time reiterating some of the things that Proverbs 3 talks about. It says, value wisdom, avoid evil, store the words of God in your heart, and spiritual blessings are inevitable when you do that. But I want to jump to verse 20 because this is really important. It says, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. That sounds a little bit familiar, doesn't it? It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. I want to start with this. It says, be attentive to my words. Now, in the other verse, or in the other chapter, it says that we've got to store those words up in our heart, right? But this is saying something a little bit different. Be attentive. Incline your ear. It means Don't get tired of the word. Don't get tired of the word. Too many people, when they hear, turn your Bible to Psalm 23, they're like, oh, I know this one. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to James. Oh, no. You're going to tell me to watch the way I talk and watch my tongue and I can set the whole world on fire with it. No, don't get tired of the word of God.
Amen.
When it goes in, whether it's the first time or the millionth time, it carries power. And it carries a power to do something in you that it's never done before. You know why? Because you're not the same as the last time that you heard it. You're different. So it tells us to give special attention to the word of God. And I was thinking about that. What does that look like? And I was thinking about how, you know, like if you're just walking along and all of a sudden you hear the national anthem, what do? You just keep walking? No. Not one of us in this room. Some people would, but not one of us in this room is going to keep walking. We're going to stop. We're going to turn. We're going to look for that flag. Oh, there's the flag. And I'm going to just stop everything I'm doing. I'll probably put my hand up here over my heart. You guys, if you got a hat on, you'll probably take your hat off. And we're going to give our full attention to the flag as the national anthem plays. Why? Because men and women have died for our freedom, and that's the way we honor them, by giving attention. Blood, sweat, and tears have been poured out on our behalf, and we're going to stop everything we're doing for that moment, and we're going to give attention to that flag, and we're going to listen to that song till it's done, and we're going to well up with pride, the good kind. It's the same thing that that's what should happen when we hear the word of God. That type of attention needs to be given to the word of God. It's not a small thing that we have access to the word of God. Millions of people have been on this planet and didn't have what we have in a Bible. They had to trust other people to tell them what it said. We've got the word of God written in our own language. We've got it in so many different versions. If you can't understand one, just move to another one and you'll get that one. But we need to give attention to the word of God, because in verse 22 it says, the words in our Bible are life. And that goes along with what it says in Hebrews 4. It says, the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is our soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. The word of God, what it does in us, is so much bigger than anything we can really fully understand. It's alive and full of power, and it is life itself to us as born again believers. So we're going to move on to one of the, again, there's been a few verses in these two chapters that hopefully you've heard before. But this next one is a big one that when I read it a while ago, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. I want to talk about that, but I want to read it to you in a version that's a little bit more common. It says this: guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Let me just say this real quick. Again, your heart in this case is this. It's your lave, your mind. It's a reference to your mind, and it's saying, guard. Okay, Solomon, let's remind ourselves of who Solomon is. He's the wisest man, not just that ever did live, but ever will live, according to the word. Other than Christ when he was here, but you get what I'm saying. And so the wisest man to ever live said, guard your heart above all else. And since we know that means guard what goes into your mind above all else, we need to ask ourselves, how does stuff get in our mind? How does it get in there? Anything that gets in our mind goes in one of two gates. It goes in here or here. Our eyes and our ears. It tells us to guard our gates. It's the most important thing we'll ever do. That's what Solomon said. Why? Because your whole life is depending on it. Your whole life is depending on what you allow to go into your mind. See, the only way a person gets hooked on pornography is because the gate wasn't being guarded. And there are people all over the world, from the youngest to the oldest, male and female, and just as many in the church as outside of the church, whose lives are wrecked because of it. So we've got to guard our gates. Pastor said now for, I've been listening to it for over 20 years now. He says, you become like the people you hang around. And I have never, ever, ever failed to see that be true. And in the 20 years that I've been in this church, I've seen a lot of what I would call, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but what I would call kind of flash in the pan Christians. And these are people who come into the church and they are genuinely excited. They hear the word and they are genuinely excited. They have a hope in their life that they haven't had for some time because they hear the word of God. And they get excited about the potential for that word to change their life forever. The only problem with that is they don't change anything else. They keep hanging out with all the same people. They keep listening to all the same stuff. And they keep watching all the same things. And it's not very long before those people say, well, I tried going to church. It didn't work for me. Those people try church. They try God for a while. They give him a chance. But they don't give him their all. And they burn out. And they are here for very short periods of time. And it's heartbreaking. We've watched it happen time and time and time again. And people who were once burning hot for the Lord are living lives that are just really kind of miserable and sad. Yeah. All because they heard the word of God, but they didn't begin to guard their gates and stop allowing things into their minds that were destructive to their lives. See, we open our gates and our eyes and our ears to things that are demonic often without even knowing it. And we act like it's no big deal what we're listening to in the way of music, what we're watching in the way of movies, listening to podcasts or some series that we're binging on some streaming platform. We just act like that's no big deal. Guard your heart above all else. It's the most important thing you do. There's this thing that I was reading about, and I know some of you have heard of this, but it's called the illusory truth effect, which is a phenomenon that causes you to believe something that you know isn't true just because you hear it spoken as true over and over and over again. And so when Paul says that faith comes by hearing, okay, you got to hear this part.
Yeah.
You're going to build faith in whatever you're hearing. So if you're not hearing the word of God and you're hearing a competing voice, way more than you're hearing the voice of God, it is a spiritual principle that is true that you will build faith in that. He says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's how we as believers build our faith in God, is by hearing that word of God. Hearing it twice a week won't do it if the rest of the week you're on Netflix or Hulu or whatever it happens to be. If you're hanging out with all the friends who do all the destructive things. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm saying they have destructive habits and they pull you into their destruction. And you feel guilty about it later, and you think, well, okay, I'm not going to do that the next time. The next time we hang out, I'm just going to tell them, I'm not going to do that. Now, I'm telling you right now, coming to church twice a week is not enough to overpower what the whole rest of the week is that you're opening your gates up to. So you've got to begin to guard your gates. There are too many competing voices. And if you do not prioritize the Word of God above everything else, those other things will win. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. It just means you're going to live like hell while you're here. And this is teaching us how to build a life, a satisfying life. That's what we all want. So it goes on to say in Proverbs 4:24, it says, put away from you crooked speech and devious talk. Let your eyes look directly forward, your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Don't swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And I want to end with these four things from that verse. Okay, these are instructions. These are some commands, yet again, that we can be storing up in our minds. Put away crooked speech and devious talk. Okay, whatever that looks like for you, okay, whether it's cussing, whether it's gossiping, whatever is coming out of your mouth, if it's not edifying to people, then let's do what we can to stop that. It's up to us. It says, number two, it says, look forward and don't let your eyes wander from the path. You know, if you weren't opening yourself up to the other things that are available to you. See, I never know what's streaming or what's going on a Wednesday night because I always know where I'm going to be on a Wednesday night. And as long as I don't open myself up to that and let my ears or my eyes wander, then I'm good. But the moment I start going, I wonder what's on Netflix on Wednesday nights. I haven't thought about that. Or we have a snow day and I go, oh, well, this was a good show. I didn't know that was going on. Well, now I've already watched three episodes. I don't want to, you get what I'm saying. You don't let your eyes wander. Number three, this is one of my favorites. Think about where you're going. It comes from the verse that says, ponder the path of your feet. I wish there was a whole lot more pondering going on in the Christian realm. Because it's just saying, okay, think about what you're doing. Think about what this leads to. Right. When I'm making decisions for the school, you know, I'll have a parent ask me, hey, would it be okay if my kid did this? And you know, it's really not a big deal. It's not a huge big deal if I make a little exception to this rule and let their kid do that. That's not a big deal. The big deal is down the road when I've got 12 other parents going, hey. That's why I started asking a few years ago, parents, could you please call the school? Parents, could you please call the school? Parents, could you please call the school? Why? Because it's no big deal when it's two or three parents calling me in the evening and wanting to talk through things with the kids. But I had a season, and it's long past. But I had a season of time where I was going home at night and spending all evening on the phone talking to parents about what was going on with their kids. And so I had to say, okay, this is not something I can keep doing. And what happened was I hadn't thought it when I was just continuing to have those conversations. I wasn't thinking about the long, you know, down the road. Okay, in 6 months, I haven't had a conversation with my own husband in the evenings. We got to think long term. You got to ponder the path. You got to think about the possible outcomes from what you're doing. And then the last one says, turn your foot, it says, do not swerve to the right or the left, turn your foot away from evil. And the way I would say this is don't take a detour. See, God is going to make that path straight for you. He's going to make it clear what your options are if you want to stay and walk in wisdom and build the life that you want, okay? And you can take a detour anytime you want. You can wade off over here and do something different than what the plan was, and God's always going to meet you where you are. But in the meantime, you've lost valuable time. And you've missed the mark for a season of time. And we don't have to do that as believers. We don't have to do that as Christians. God has given us an ability to walk in His wisdom. And that's what we want to do if we want to build the kind of life that is fully satisfying and very long. And that's what we all want. That's all I got. Y'all stand with me.
I hope this message encouraged you, strengthened you, and hopefully even challenged you a little bit. And if it did, I want to encourage you to like it, share it, or even send it to somebody who you know needs to hear it. Help us get the message of Jesus out to as many people as possible. And to our Christian Ministries family, we're so thankful that you're with us today. Thank you for all you do here to advance His kingdom. And if you're not a part of Christian Ministries, but you want to know more about what God is doing here, you can go to our website, cmchurch.net, or you can message us on social media and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and may the Lord bless you.